Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is our story, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand with me for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This is the gospel of the Lord. This is weirding me out, being on stage and so far from you. We talked this through multiple times and said, you know, should I go on the floor? Should I be on the stage? How should we do this? And we decided on the stage, but it's weird because you feel like you're on another block away from me. What an interesting gathering we're having this weekend. For those of you that haven't put this all together, we had kind of a camp out as a church this weekend. And we understand why not everyone could be a part of that. But for those of us who did, it was just a nice, quiet, humble time together. And so I want to thank the team that really put this weekend together. It's a lot of work. Even if it's not, you know, 1,000 people, it's a lot of work to plan out everything needed for us to come and stay and eat and all those things. So I just want to thank Robin, Leanne, Lexi, and Bella. So can we just show our appreciation to them? I also want to give a special thank you to Rob. Rob has done a ton of work moving kind of our setup here for today. So can we thank Rob for that? And Mike Williams. Where's Mike? Mike Williams worked really hard on this too. He gets his own. I'm pretty sure these guys had it all set up on like last Sunday afternoon, I think. But they worked really hard on this, and so just really appreciate them. Now, Vision Sunday is a time for us to really reflect on why do we do what we do. So in some ways, it's not new information because hopefully, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you should know that these are our priorities. These are the things that we care about most. But in the weeks leading up to today, much of my prayer and my reflection was really on, and coming back from sabbatical too, I think, was just on this sense of what are we building for future generations? It was interesting, this morning I came in and I was just kind of walking and praying, preparing the space here, that it would just be full of His Spirit, and that all of this would really just glorify Jesus. And so I was walking in the back room here. For those of you that haven't been back there, it's like a full gym, and there's an archery kind of course set up for an archery group that meets here midweek. And what I found sitting kind of under a bunch of garbage and random things was this old communion table. And here in the back of this building, I don't know how old this would be, probably back to the 70s when they first built this building for worship. They probably built this communion table to go with it. And isn't it a strange thing that all these years later, it's just what was made for sacred purposes can be found in some backroom storage under a bunch of garbage? Isn't that crazy? Like over on the wall there, there's this kind of billboard with all these pictures of them building this space and creating it for worship, creating it for kids to come and hear the gospel and experience the power and presence of the Spirit. I don't know how far back this land goes, but some people all these years ago had the faith and the energy and the investment to make this a kind of sacred space. And now here we are, 2025. All year long, nobody meets in this space. There's no worship. There's no church on Sunday. And the communion table sits in the back under a bunch of garbage. Isn't that very similar to many of the Old Testament stories that we hear about in the life of Israel? They forget about the Lord. The sacred things get lost. The scriptures are lost. The scrolls are hidden. And there's interesting stories throughout the Old Testament of certain kings discovering old scrolls, old scriptures, and being like, we found this. And he's like, oh, well, read it to me. I've never heard that scroll. And they read it to him, and he goes, this is what I've been looking for. This is the good news of a God that I want to serve, not these false gods that fail to actually bring salvation. I want the true God, the real God, and the real salvation. And it launches the whole nation into essentially a revival where they rediscover God again, they rediscover the temple, they rediscover the sacred things that have been forgotten, and it changes the hearts of the people. We're in a very similar time in the life of the Canadian church, where we have been asking the question, I think, a lot over the last 20 years, why do we do this? Why go to church? Why sign up for this? Why tithe? Why do any of this? And so when I kind of graduated high school, all of my friend group that I had grown up with, we had got together for camps and for retreats, and we had all these God experiences. We did missions trips around the world. We went to all these places. And then in our 20s, all my friends kind of went, I think I'm out. I think I'm done with the church thing. I don't see the purpose of it. I don't see the beauty of it. All I see is maybe some of the hypocrisy, or I see the fact that I'm supposed to live a certain way, but I actually can't. I can't achieve these ideals. I can't live up to these morals. And then when I got on the church board, I realized neither are they. They don't like any of each other. They're mean to each other. They're fighting all the time. There's church splits. There's moral failures of pastors. What would be the purpose of doing any of this? Anyone have friends like that or your own journey like that? So we've been in this time where everyone's going, why? Why church? Why do it? And part of it for me is I look at you, but I also look into the back corner. Just look right now. Look at Patty. And look at our kids. And I think it makes me go, can we build something with Jesus that's so good that it's a blessing for them to inherit it? That's the question. Can we build something so good, so healthy, so transformative that this little boy's crawling quest to the shiny cross here up at the front would be worth his life pursuit? Isn't that the question we're asking? My primary job this weekend was to hold babies. That's a good job. And Elisa sent me pictures of me holding their little one, and I cried a little bit. Because this is the vision. And the hope of it is to go, the reason church would be worth building, would be worth handing down, would be worth the investment and the effort and the risk. Do any of you feel the risk of church? Like all week as I was praying about this, and Jackie actually kind of called me out. She asked, she's like, do you feel afraid to hope? And even I was sitting here on this chair and I was thinking, I think I might be. I think I might be a little bit afraid to hope. Do you feel that? Like, this project is scary because of how good it could be and also how much it could hurt if it doesn't work out. Does anyone else feel like that? So isn't that a weird place for us to be at this point in our life? So when we go back then and we look at, okay, what's the vision of Christ Church? It's meant to get us clear again to go, right, this is why I would do this. It's why I can be confident and why I would let myself risk hoping for how good this could be. And for those of you that are new to this, you probably came here going, I'm driving to church. What am I doing at church? It could be such a new concept for you. But the hope would be that this vision resonates with you in such a way that you go, yeah, I think this is what I've been looking for. So when at Christ Church, here's how we explain our priorities, is that church is primarily not actually for me or for you. Church is for who? Can anyone tell me? It's for Jesus. What's the name of our church? Christ's Church. It's His church. Right? The language that Jesus uses to describe it for Himself is that He is the head and the church is His body. How closely does Jesus see Him tied to His church? Pretty close. Jesus describes Himself as the groom and the church is His bride. That's pretty close, isn't it? So the primary nature of the church is that it's for Jesus. It's about Jesus. So we use the language that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. He is what the church is built on. And He is what the church is built for. The word church literally just means the gathering. And it's the gathering to the good news of Jesus, to the person of Jesus, to the presence of Jesus. We are gathering to God's fulfilled promise to save humanity and to save the world. That's what we're gathering to. So as lovely as Ian's music is, we're not gathering to Ian. We're not gathering to a building. We're not gathering to be entertained. We're gathering to the person of Jesus. Do you agree? And the reason we're gathering to the person of Jesus is because He's so dang good. That's why. Like, Jesus is everything He claims to be. Jesus accomplishes everything He claims to accomplish. Jesus is everything we've been looking for, and we have found that to be true. It's not a concept. It's not just some ideology. It's not just some tradition. It's real and it works. Yes? And so the church is all about coming to Jesus himself. And so what we summarize the good news of Jesus as the cornerstone is four things. Can you put that next slide up? The life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the ascension of Jesus. These are the four key movements of the gospel. Each one of them has its own set of benefits and impacts and transformative power, but it's through Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension that all of God's desire for you is given. That's the good. So when we say the gospel or the good news, that's what we're saying, that Jesus has come and done something and it works for you. And so everything about the church is about connecting people to those truths, to that impact, to the benefits and the blessing and the grace that flows from that. This is everything all the time about Christ's church. And so that means sometimes we don't talk about some stuff. That means there are certain things that may come up that we go, that's a distraction from our purpose, which is Jesus. And so we're picky about what comes out of the pulpit. We're picky about what we give our attention to in this church because it's really got to be about him to be worth coming here. Otherwise, sleep in, have brunch. But he's worth coming for. Then it comes to this question of, okay, it's all about Jesus, so how do we enjoy this? How do we explore this about Jesus? And so we have defined our priorities as a church based on the New Testament reading that we had by Fran this morning, which is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we summarize this description of what the early church was like. What is a church that is all about Jesus? What does it actually look like? And that summary we get in Acts, we break down to what we call the five S's of Christ's church. So I'll wait for you to put those up, Roz. You can go ahead. Oh, they're there. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's it. And here's what they are: Scripture, sacrament, supernatural, sacrificial, and salvations. So this is what Sunday should look like. These are kind of the five S's of Sunday. Okay? That when you come to church, you should be hearing Jesus proclaimed from the whole of the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. I almost said Genovation. So from every book, every verse, every word, from the very beginning to the very end, we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus from all of the Scriptures. And so that's at the heart of the church. So that's why preaching is important to us, because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So there's this proclamation piece of going, look, this is what is ultimately true. This is the revelation of who Jesus is. And you kind of hear it proclaimed, and there's this process of which we hear it presented to us, and then our hearts respond to hearing that good news and go, I want to trust in that. I want to believe that. I want to have faith for that. So we want that proclamation to be clear. We want it to be full of power. We want it to be convicting and reasonable. We want to be able to hear it and understand it so our heart can go, I leap to catch on to that and to believe in that. But church isn't just about hearing good information. Church is also about experiencing it to be true. So our primary role at the church is not just to go, here's some interesting facts, like a TED Talk. We want to present to you, proclaim the good news, but then we want to invite you to be united to that good news. And that's the purpose of what the sacraments are. To be united to the presence of Jesus in the sacraments of baptism and communion. That those two things are central to the life of the church. So where you go, yes, I've heard the good news and I want to believe it. And I want my whole life to be changed by it. And I want my whole life every week to come again and depend upon it. So the grace that you hear about, you ingest it. You eat it. So what that kind of mystery looks like is that when we eat of the bread and drink of the wine, we're believing that Christ's presence is in them. Still bread, still wine after they're blessed. But we're taking the presence of Jesus into us as that's our food. This is the grace we need for another week ahead. Where I wouldn't just ask for my sins to be forgiven, but I would encounter these physical witnesses that say, your sins are forgiven. Where you would experience the washing of the waters in your baptism and go, I felt like my old life died and my new life was born. Ask Mike Watson about his baptismal experience. It's life-altering moments of experience. So not just theory, reality. So we have the scriptures, we have the sacrament, and then we have the supernatural, which is that we are all, if we're united to Jesus, we all are carriers of the ministry of Jesus. And we minister to one another with special gifts that Jesus gives us. Jesus essentially goes, look, here's all of the different things that I'm good at and all the different things that I do to love people, to help people experience the power of the gospel, to give them grace. I'm going to take all those parts that make up me and I'm going to spread them out in this church in different people so together we all express them to one another. So one person might be gifted in the administrative heart of Jesus. This is the creator of the universe. And they might bring kind of administrative health to the church. Somebody else might have the gift of supernatural healing and loves to pray for people to be healed. And we see the power of that at work within us. And there's all these different gifts that are actually just characteristics of Jesus that are shared in our community. So we want this supernatural sense to our gathering. Even to welcome someone at the door is to participate in the supernatural nature of Jesus. From there, then, the church is sacrificial. If we're truly hearing the good news and truly receiving it, and it's changing our lives and we're giving it away to other people, it's natural for God's people to want to live with gratitude, to be generous with what they have. If God is going to give me all of Himself, it's my joy to share what I have with my church. That's the heart of it. And so we give of our lives, we give of our finances from this gratitude, we give it to Jesus because we want it to go towards Jesus' vision for His church. We want to see Jesus build this into something bigger than ourselves. It's a compelling Sunday for me, for us to be here and to look around and go, if we had a space that would seat 400 people, not saying it's this space, but just if we were to have space to seat 400 people, do we have the vision to see that Jesus could do that? To reach new believers, to lead people who are staunch atheists or lost in this world, never considered Jesus, to believe in Him, to be baptized, and to be part of this church. Could we see that? Could we invest in something bigger than just our own self-provision? That's the nature of the church. And that leads us to our fifth point, which is this pursuit of salvations. We want to bear witness to the truth and power of Jesus in our own authentic testimony to the world, where we can say with confidence, Jesus worked for me, he'll work for you. So these are the five essentials to even what we shoot for on a Sunday. Is we want all of these things functional. We want the scriptures, the sacraments, the supernatural, the sacrificial, and salvations all to be pointing people to the cornerstone that is Jesus. Are you in? You agree? That's what we signed up for, isn't it? This is the kind of, we want clarity on the vision of the church to be like, this is actually what I want. I don't just want a big gathering that I don't understand. I don't just want a small community that's kind of more like a community center. I don't just want to learn good information. I want the whole package. I want a healthy, vibrant, alive church that is clearly proclaiming Jesus. That's the commitment we share together. Now, here's the thing I want to add today. I want to be a little bit bold, and I want to suggest that we need another S called spiritual formation. Now, here's what I've been hearing in my ministry for the last 20 years. I think this is central to what I feel Jesus has called me and Jackie to give our lives to in terms of how we serve the church, is that there's a disconnect in Christians where they hear the gospel of Jesus and they go, yes, I agree with that and I want that. But they then don't know how that applies to the nitty-gritty of the everyday. And especially the deep stuff of the heart, where they're like, I know I believe in Jesus, but internally I've got this mess and I can't seem to get it under control. And then you add into it all the kind of New Testament teachings that are like, this is what the church believed about relationships, and this is what the church believed about finances, and this is what the church believed about how to love one another, and this is what the church believed about marriage, and this is what the church believed about sexuality. And all of this is part of following Jesus. And then Christians end up in this spot where they go, okay, this is the good news I've heard and I do want it. Internally, I've got a mess I can't make sense of. And there's this list of standards of I'm supposed to be able to live like this. This kind of wholeness of life. Health in all these different areas of my life. And so what seems to happen in Christians is they go, that's what's expected of me, and because I want what I've heard of the gospel, I'm going to force myself to make this happen. I'm going to live up to all these expectations with all my might and all my strength, and I'm going to work really hard at this. And then what happens is a point of disillusion, where they go, I keep striving for this, but I'm not getting there. I know I say I agree with this, but in private, I'm actually doing the total opposite of that. That the truth of my life is that this stuff is completely out of reach for me. And so my social media says this is what I hold to this standard, but in private, I'm actually living the complete opposite of that. That disillusionment is a real confusing thing within the life of the church. Because people are going, because I can't live the way I think I'm supposed to, maybe I don't actually believe in Jesus, and maybe Jesus doesn't actually work. Or I'm just going to work even harder at faking this and hope that someday I make this. And so when people come into the church for the first time, they hear the promise of Jesus, but then over time they eventually come to see, I'm not seeing the transformation in my own life, and I'm realizing that all the other people are just faking it too. And then it's a real awkwardness in the underbelly of the church of going, we know what Jesus promises, we know what we're supposed to do, but we can't get there. This is what spiritual formation is for. Is that there are meant to be paths that exist to go, if Jesus is the cornerstone, how does he work for all of these different rings of my life? How do I mature, level up into, you know, healthier living, into more wholeness, into righteousness, even crazy Christian words like holiness? Who here wants to say, I'm living holy? Who can say that they are now? Everyone's like, oh, I don't know. But that's common language in the New Testament church. Holiness is a common descriptor of what a Christian is like in the New Testament. How far away do we feel from that? Do you see my point? So there needs to be a way, there needs to be a path within the life of the church that we can go, I'm going to hold to Jesus and receive Jesus, starting with the inner life, and I'm going to see that application, impact, growing benefits extend through all the areas of my life where I would see that Jesus works for all of this. And that needs to become a central part of what the church is. Now, traditionally, the language we would use for this, for what this path is or what this mechanism is we call it catechism. That's the ancient or the traditional word we would use, especially in the Anglican church. Catechism is the process of learning, of applying Jesus to your life. So we've been doing this in our church over the last 7 years, really intentionally. And when we talk about the cornerstone being the center of our church, that's really where I've been talking about spiritual formation. But I think we need to get clear on it moving forward. And so here's what this looks like for us. You can do the next slide, Roz. Pilgrimage is just a program that we created. But what we're trying to do is try and give you a clear path to go, how do I take 8 months of my year? Because here's what I've realized about the island. The summer is for fun, adventure, and in my opinion, should be about mission. I actually think that's what your summer should feel like. As much as adventure as you possibly can do, as much fun as you can handle safely, and as much mission, like spreading the gospel as you can get your hands on. That's what I think an island summer should look like. Because we know the end of September, October, the sun goes away forever. Right? We know that. Sunset is at 7 o'clock tonight. I'm already crying inside thinking about it. But in the dark months of the island, we actually grow. You're hunkered down in your house. Does anyone ever feel like, oh man, it's like 3:30 and dark, and no amount of light in my house can actually illuminate it. So we're just sitting in the dark as a family, looking at each other's faults and failures and annoyances. I got a very small house, okay? But that island, like winters can feel kind of like, man, I'm like locked in. If you work all day and then come home to a dark, dark house, that can be hard. So I actually think that those are the months of our year that are meant to be about deep work of Jesus in our homes, where we grow a new layer in our development as old growth trees. Like that's kind of the vision, is to go, I actually want to grow in stability and strength and wholeness, that our church would become a cathedral grove of healthy, whole individuals and families. And so pilgrimage in the way is for those who are just coming into the faith for the first time or need to go, I need to get back to the essentials because I've gotten lost in the confusion. And that's what this is for. It's a heart journey. It's all about a transformation of your inner identity. So I've asked my friend Hillary to come. She actually moved to Victoria. Can we all boo that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We support your decisions. We're just kidding. But we love her and we miss her. But I've asked Hillary just to share a bit of her experience in Pilgrimage in the Way.
Hi, everyone. Hi. I think I know most of you, but if I don't, I'm Hillary. And like Ryan said, I moved to Victoria and abandoned you all. So I did Pilgrimage in the Way some time ago. I can't even remember. So I'll just share a little bit about my story. If you were here yesterday, you would probably know more about what I'm talking about. But yeah, so for me, I've just been working through growing up. In my family, I didn't really feel like I was seen or accepted or known. And like my family didn't really want to know me or didn't care to know me. And so what that looks like is me trying to find home in anyone else, in anywhere else. And so that can look like me trying to find that in a friend that I really connect with, or a group of people that I really connect with, or in someone else's family that welcomes me in. And that can be really nice at first. And I feel like, finally, someone wants to know me, someone accepts me, someone can see me for who I am, and they love me for who I am. And I didn't get that in my family. But that can end up becoming really disappointing too. And because that's the way I grew up, I also notice the people who might feel that way too, and that might look like me really trying to welcome other people in. And I kind of jump right into ascension, into calling and working, and I run out because I just don't have enough in me, and also they don't have enough in them to give to me to fill all that emptiness. And so yesterday as I was reflecting just at the water here, Jesus was really welcoming me to him. He's so interested to know what my thoughts are, what my dreams are, like how I'm feeling with my new group of friends in Victoria, or like what am I interested in? He wants to know everything, and he just welcomes me into his family. And I had a picture of him welcoming me to his family table for dinner, and there was a huge feast. And if you know me, you know I love food and I love gathering around table with lots of food. But he welcomed me into his family, and he just wanted to know me. And he just wanted me to sit with him first and do all that healing before I go and jump out and do that Christian thing that we all strive to do. And so, yeah, I really feel like I'm in the sitting and kneeling stage, as probably many of you also feel. And we'll get to resurrection, ascension. I feel like pilgrimage really just gave me that space to do that, and also like practical steps to be able to do that. Yeah.
Thank you. So the main goal of Pilgrimage in the Way is to connect the most important parts of Jesus to the most important needs that you have in your inner being of what makes you who you are, your core identity. And it's this process of rewriting your identity according to who Jesus is and his accomplishments instead of what you've experienced or the family you came from or the hardship that you've been a part of or what this world thinks about you, but finding your true divine origin in Christ. That's the whole purpose of that. But this year, we're ready to take kind of our next step and want to cultivate our culture in our church around spiritual formation in some new layers. So what we're launching today is called Pilgrimage on the Way. And this is where, having received Jesus at an identity level, we're now starting to apply the same Jesus, the same cornerstone, to outer rings of our life. And so what we want to focus on this year is five subjects. You can go to the next one, Roz. First is spiritual practices and your emotional, mental processes. So we want to show people how the cornerstone works for mental health. So how you stay centered on Christ, healthy, whole, growing, and secure at an emotional and mental level. And what you'll see is that these are building blocks. Often people want to come and meet with Jackie and I and say, help us with our marriage. And really what we end up talking about and working on is this, is emotional and mental processes. Or people will come and say, I've got questions about how do I live and thrive in my singlehood. You know, I'm not married, there's nobody on the radar for me, or even I don't want to pursue marriage. How do I find fulfillment here? We often have to go back to, let's go emotional, mental processes of learning to be whole in Jesus, you and him. From there, we want to then explore what it looks like in Christ to be integrated and united to our physical bodies. So this is a biblical or theological understanding of what our bodies are, where they come from, how we unite with them. Often we split up the spirit and the soul from the body. We want to bring those things together into healthiness and wholeness. And so that's things like for individuals who struggle with eating disorders or body dysmorphia or different elements like that about that disintegration with your body. Jesus works for that to find your path of kind of centeredness and wholeness. The next step for that kind of seems somewhat obvious is to talk about sexuality in the way of Jesus. So what is Jesus' provision for our sexuality? Is it good? Is it beloved by God? Is it provided for by God? And what does that look like for it to be made whole? And this is an area of probably significant passion for me, is that I think especially as an older millennial, I'm just realizing more and more the research that's coming out is that especially our age demographic, we were born into a really unique time in history where in our developmental stage where we're hitting puberty and coming into our sexuality, our world, our context said, here's devices in your home connected to this thing called the internet of which you can explore all sexuality, even the darkest corners of it, at the click of a button, by yourself in private. That is a wild developmental process. Like I explained to someone the other day, my first ever exposure to nudity, to sexuality on the internet included animals. I was at a friend's house. He's like, look at this. Like how does that impact the developmental process of a child? And these are the things nobody's talking about. Nobody's talking about them. And so not only are we not talking about them, but we're not talking about how the way of Jesus works for them. And so my heart this year is that for those that have done kind of that first step of pilgrimage in the way and solidifying identity, are ready for some next steps, is that we would work through this kind of methodically as a community to go, how does Jesus apply to that story, to how you've come to understand your sexuality? And what does it look like for you to be whole and healthy in Him? And what do those expressions look like? From there, we then want to talk about how relationships work in the way of Jesus, so how to develop deep friendship and community. And then we want to end the year by diving into marriage. But here's the thing. People just want the marriage conversation. Hey, give me some helpful tips on how to have a passionate marriage. But great, let's talk about spiritual practices. We need to build up to these conversations to go, you're not going to be healthy in marriage if you're not even connected with Jesus. If you don't have a life separate from your marriage growing with Jesus. You're not going to be able to talk about marriage if you hate your body and wish you didn't have it, and on and on and on. You're not going to be able to talk about marriage unless we talk about what formed you sexually. And so the way of Jesus is so unique in all the world because it offers us extreme safety. But it also offers us incredible power for transformation. It paints for us a beautiful vision of how good it could be. And all of this gets to be explored within the context of community. Isn't that a beautiful gift? And you can only find that in one place, and that's with Jesus. There's only one way that's that safe, and that transformative, and that beautiful, and communal. It's the way of Jesus. And so, you know, you might be hearing all that, and you go, you know what, I'm at a stage of my life where I'm not really up for that journey. That's okay. I just want you to know about it so you can be praying about those that are going to go on this pilgrimage. And we'd be praying that our church would be able to cultivate testimonies, just like we have Hillary's testimony in identity, we want testimonies in each of these categories of life where people can say, this is what my friendship story was, but now this is what it is in the way of Jesus. This is where our marriage was at, but now this is where we're at now because of the way of Jesus. We need this testimony, don't we? The church needs to be as confident in this as we are in the other processes in the way of Jesus. As confident in this as we are our forgiveness in Jesus. In our eternity, in the life to come with Jesus. And so essentially what my dream would be, what my hope would be, is that in the next 3 to 5 years, maybe sooner, each one of these categories, including pilgrimage in the way, would become small group curriculums that we are running in our church year-round for people to come join in. That we're always offering in the way for those who are coming to faith. Then we're offering small groups around these subjects of people that are ready for next steps, as well as offering all kinds of other different small groups. That will be really the future of where our church is going. But we're in this process of cultivating a new, fresh testimony. And that's what we're doing in these years together. So I think the invitation of this is to go, look, we want you to know clearly what Christ Church is about. And we want you to be able to be forever growing in greater degrees of maturity as a member of this church. In the big areas. I don't just want a small group that's like, let's learn about this book of the Bible. I want you to have a small group that goes, how do we see the transformation of Jesus in this area that's really painful? See His healing power, see His transformation for all these areas. In safety, in power, in beauty, in community. So I think what I would ask of you today is to renew your commitment to being a part of this project. Renew your commitment to this vision to build Christ Church. And the best way you can do that in this year to come is to continue your growth journey. Continue following Jesus. Continue risking an area of your life to go, let's see if he's good enough for this. And see him prove himself.